In today's episode, we talk about the due on sale clause. And there's a point in the episode where I say, it's a grown-up problem. And it is a grown-up problem. There's many things in real estate that you really do have to put your big boy, your big girl pants on and deal with. The due on sale clause is one of those things. If you're taking over mortgages, you need to have multiple exit strategies. And you need to be a big girl, big boy. You need to have an attorney on your team. Now, that means an attorney that you regularly talk to and discuss real estate issues with. The due on sale clause, taking over mortgages. These are things that you can do, you should do as an investor, but it's not to play around with. It's not to be a kid about. It's not a joking matter. It's not to put people's finances and potentially lives into some degree in jeopardy. Taking over mortgages is a big boy, big girl issue. And without, you know, putting this off any further, let's jump right in. We're going to learn something today. And I hope it pushes your business, pushes your life, your career to another level. Helps you build some generational wealth. Right now in the marketplace where I'm sitting in the beginning of the winter of 2023, looking ahead at 2024, taking over mortgages is a really good acquisition strategy, but you need to know what you're doing. So we're diving right in. Let's go. Let's jump. Let's do it. Learn some secret sauce. Any deal anybody does in real estate, you going buy a new house to live in is a risk. It's a risk. The bank can call a note due, which is a due on sale clause, for a lot of reasons. They rarely do it, okay? Now, they will, from time to time, call a note due on a due on sale clause. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but usually it's because of the insurance. You screw up the way that you replace the insurance is one of the main reasons you get the due on sale clause called on you. Or the mortgage company sells the note to a new note servicing company or a new mortgage company, and then you don't find out about it and you're still sending payments. Your escrow service company that you have hired to make your payments for you on your behalf is still sending payments to the wrong company because you didn't do your job as a good real estate investor and go inside of the mortgage portal and change the mailing address to you. You have to change the mailing address, the email address, and all the information to you so you get all the notifications. This is where people screw up. As long as you do these things, you're not going to get the due on sale clause called on you. What happens if it gets called? Mostly what the bank is looking for. First of all, it's not the FBI. You're not going to jail. It's not criminal. What they're looking for is almost always, they don't like the fact that the title has transferred. Okay. So, they don't like the fact that the title has transferred. Most of the time, what you can do, the bank will call you and they'll say, you know, we're going to call the note due because the title transferred. You got to do the work. You got to get on the phone with the right person at the bank and you say, hey, what can we do to present a solution here? 99 out of 100 times, you can offer this solution. What if I quit claim the property, quit claim the deed back to the seller, and I purchased the property on a bond for deed. 99 times out of 100, that's going to be fine. That's what they want you to do.
But you do lose some of the perks of ownership when you do it in that manner. Is that correct?
That's correct.
What do you lose in that?
You still control the asset fully. And mostly the only thing you lose is the potential to claim depreciation. And that's not always the case, depending on your CPA and what risk you're willing to take with the IRS and claim some things. So mostly that's going to be something that is going to be a depreciation issue, but nothing's permanent. So let's say you quit claim the deed back to the seller and you repurchase that property at the same time on a bond for deed. You were probably planning on refinancing at some point anyway, right? So you're going to refinance in a year or two or three, or maybe you were going to refinance at year five. Well, if you want to get out of that bond for deed situation, refinance a little bit earlier. It's fine. You're going to have built-in equity. You still got tenants paying down your mortgage. You still got all these amazing things that are happening. Appreciation. You still got all these great things happening with this property, and you still have control of the situation. Now, what else can you do? You could sell it. If they call the note due and blah, blah, and you say, look, I'm going to go ahead and list this house and put it on the market and just sell it. Will that be okay? It's going to be okay. They want to get paid off. Sell it. So, well, what if we're in a market where we can't sell it? Well, that's where you can, look at that bond for deed situation. Now, another thing that you can do is that, like I said earlier, we have access to a lot of private money in the Sub 2 community. You could pull in a private money lender to bail you out of that situation and then refinance a private money lender. Okay, you could do a 12-month note with a private money lender, pay off the house, and then start working on your refi process. So there's a lot of things to do, but 99 out of 100 quit claiming it back to the seller and then rebuying it on a bond for deed in one appointment with your title company solves the problem. Now, let's say that you have a very, very low risk tolerance and you don't want to risk the due on sale clause. Ever buy everything on bond for deed. Just buy it on bond for deed. Don't transfer the deed. Do your subject to deals on bond for deed. You don't have to worry about that with seller finance. Just buy your subject to deals on bond for deed. It's that simple. You're not going to get those notes called ever. So there's solutions. There's ways to deal with it. When it happens, you have to deal with it. Like, it's a grown-up issue. You've got to call the bank. You've got to have a discussion and figure out a solution. The mindset problem is that we think the bank really wants that money. They don't. If you could provide a solution for the bank, they do not want that money. They do not want to get that house back. They don't want it. They want that loan to continue that they gave because that wasn't their product. Their product is not houses. Their product is lending money. If you can provide a solution for them that is accepted for within their regulations, they're going to let you do it. They're going to work with you. They're not in the business of taking back real estate. They hate doing it. It took me a long time to realize that. The banks don't want your houses. They don't. No. They want your interest.
That's right.
I can attest to that.
There you go. There you go. All right.
Yeah, so they definitely don't want the property back. They just want you to keep paying on it. That's it.
That's the due on sale clause.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you're ready to level up your real estate investing journey, go over to 90upchallenge.com. 90upchallenge.com, where we offer online courses, group coaching, and one-on-one coaching. We hope to see you there.